Back in 2 Peter again today. Having a great time here in this book, aren't we? Off to a great start. Now, we left off here in verse 5, where Peter commands us to add certain things to our faith, if you remember. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "But for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Virtue meaning moral excellence, like our God, like our Lord. When he healed people, it's written in the King James Version that virtue had gone out of him to heal. God is daily transforming you into that kind of person. Knowledge begins with a reverential fear of the Lord. Self-control is having the ability to say no to something. Originally, I had bad, and I crossed that off, and I changed this to self-control is having the ability to say no to something that's not best for you and walk away. It's funny, that old Adrian Rogers likes to call that sin, doing something that's second best for you. I've never looked at it that way, but interesting. Because you ought to strive, we ought to strive for God's best, not second best. Perseverance is waiting on God to deliver you through some trial in your life. Godliness is godliness. Being like God, loving what he loves, hating sin, having the ambition or desire to turn this upside down world right side up. You're kind to people, kind to animals, right, Robin? Godly people are kind to animals. Don't even tell me you're Christian and you're mean to animals. Brotherly kindness is brotherly love, Philadelphia. And love is the pinnacle we strive for. Agape love, the highest form of love. Like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave something, someone." Now let's pick it up here this morning in verse 9. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "For he who lacks these things," that we just looked at, "he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Now, the word for short-sighted is actually a medical condition that people suffer from today. The Greek word, myopia. It means what it says, being short-sighted. "For he who lacks these things," that is the things on this list. He who lacks these things on the list I just showed you last week, these free upgrades that are already provided for you, they're free. "He who lacks these things has a bad case of myopia." That is, all you see is what's right in front of you. You're missing everything else. And not only that, but you might as well just be totally blind and not just short-sighted. How can you lack these things which are free? Peter continues, "He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even unto blindness, and he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Meaning, if you don't possess virtue, moral goodness, after all that the Lord has done for you, if you don't have some reverence and healthy fear of God, if you don't possess at least a little godliness, if you don't possess some Philadelphia after all that God's done for you, if you don't possess some of these attributes, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Talk about having a bad case of myopia. That's only what's in front of you, right? Your vision should be a little more peripheral than that. And all that God's done for you in your life, all these upgrades are free. Amen. God's already provided for them. All you got to do, and he commands you to do it, so it's up to you to do it, add these things to your faith. They cost you nothing. God's already created you to be more and more like Jesus every day. Be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Meaning, you better stop for a minute and make sure you're saved. Here this morning, let's pray for a minute. Lord, we pray right now that you'd move in here by your Holy Spirit, here in this church, and those that are watching online, those that are going to hear, move with, through, and by, and with, and in your Holy Spirit into our spirits. Show us if we're not as good as we think that we are. Show us what we lack, where we lack, so that we can do better. You want to show us so that we can overcome these things and be victors. We listen for you. Lead us here now this morning. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Okay, let's do them. Let's make our calling and election sure. God did call me. God did call you, didn't he? God did elect you, didn't he? How can you be sure? Answer. Do you look like Jesus some? Romans 8:29 tells us, for whom he foreknew, these he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He saved you and changing you so that you'll look like him. That's how you know you passed this test. Do you possess any or some of these six things that are freely given to those that call themselves Christian? Do you possess any of these? Here's a few more ways to pass this self-examination. 1 John 3:14. We know we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now both of those are on that list. Number 5 and number 6. And this, Romans 6:16, out of the New Living Translation. It says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave of sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Now let me paraphrase that. Let me read it again. Don't you realize you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave of sin, which will kill you. Or you can choose to obey God, which will make you more and more like Jesus, the man in the glory. So let me probe a little this morning on this Father's Day. Who are you chained to? Who are you chained to? Sin Or are you a slave of righteousness? Like I say in here practically every week, a slave of righteousness is chained to it. You're chained to it. You're chained to something in this world. You're either chained to sin or you've got this ambition to do something good today. And it compels you. You're compelled to do good. Because you have a new heart and you're chained to something. You are a slave. Get used to it. Either sin, which will destroy you, or you're chained to righteousness, which will make you each and every day a little bit more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. That's where we want, right? Again, the Apostle Peter, this time from the English Standard Version. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice, like practicing your saxophone, my mother always made me go into the basement, practice that saxophone, even when I didn't want to, right? Hebrews 5:12, it says you're on meat and not milk, exercising, right? Leads to godliness. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Praise God, I like that. Again, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling. Yeah, that's right. God did call me, didn't he? I hate sin now. I never used to. I used to laugh at those people that call themselves Christian or born again. Those bald guys at the airport holding a sign. I don't do those things anymore. I don't act like that anymore. I love God now. I never used to. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. That is, get in the mirror once in a while and look. Do a checkup from the neck up and see how you're doing. God doesn't want to penalize or hurt you. God wants to help you and give you the victory. God wants to turn you into a spiritual giant. Amen. Let me live another 50 years. Can you imagine me up here, 95 years old? No offense. How's everyone doing? Do you pass the test or do you fail the test? Are you in group number 3 and you're a work in progress? Now let's be certain of some ironclad facts before we move on. Number 1, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. That's ironclad fact number 1, all in the handout. Number 2, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe that? Amen. How about this one? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Acts 16:31. What a Father's Day verse that is. I'm finally learning and understanding what that means. All you men who believe, listen to that verse. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Because the salvation would start with the man in the house. And God, I think he's given kind of a promise here to all you men. You get your family together and you, just like the song that we sing, just like what you preached in here on Saturday when Darren said, those that have seen me have seen the Father. That is you men and your sons. I think this is a promise here that if you take Christ to heart and take him at his word, that God's going to do a work in your family. I never understood that. I believe. I say, how can you save a family? Everyone's got to believe. Well, God will do a work in your family when you men believe. I believe that. 1 John 5 and 5, who is it that overcomes the world except he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? First John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. You believe those things, and you can make your calling and election sure. If you fail the others, it's all right. God wants to work on you and to make you better, so that next Father's Day, 2022, you'll be better off than you were today. Just tell God you need help. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. I know you all pass these things. So can you answer in the affirmative to all five of these? I believe that. Then God bless you, and keep on fighting the good fight of faith. And look, you are normal, church. You're a Christian trying to live a good life and to be a better person. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's late wife. If you ever make it to Charlotte, North Carolina, you'll see on her tombstone the following thing written. It says, Ruth Bell Graham, : end of construction. No need to add nothing to that. End of construction. Amen. All right, now let's move on. I really wanted to look at the trustworthiness of God, but I'm almost out of time here today. Let's take that clock down, right? Here it is again, right? Someone's going to turn on the radio right now like they did a couple weeks ago. Burn that sucker down. Someone turned me on the radio. They turned it on and they heard me say, burn that sucker down. This is, they said, what are you doing at that church? Well, because I'm always self-conscious about keeping you guys an extra 5 minutes. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. With everyone's approval, let's move on to verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and you're firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see after my departure, Greek word exodus, after my exodus, you will always be able to remember these things. All right, now Peter remembered, and how could he not remember? And I think everyone remembered that famous prophecy given to him. John 21:18, Jesus said, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. That's John 21:18 and 19. Everyone knew that. Son of God told him he was going to be crucified as well. All right, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, quote, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, unquote. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. All right, indeed, so Peter was an eyewitness. Probably the greatest eyewitness of all time is Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' insiders in his inner circle, whom he included in all of his miracles. Peter was there that day. That awesome day. If you guys want to turn with me, you can follow with me here. That awesome day, Matthew 17. That awesome day that Peter accompanied Jesus up on that mountain. Matthew 17. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise. Do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And Jesus is risen, and now Peter's talking. And he's telling anyone who will listen that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So now, in spite of all that he's seen firsthand, in spite of being an eyewitness himself, in spite of seeing Moses and Elijah with his own eyes, in spite of seeing what Jesus Christ really looks like, glistening white in brilliant light, in spite of all of that, is verse 19 here in 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, And we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Meaning this, my Bible is better. It's better than me being an eyewitness. He says, I've seen what Moses looks like. I've seen what Elijah looks like. I've seen Jesus' true form. And this is even better. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The Bible, the word of God, is even better than being an eyewitness, is what he's saying. Here's how the NIV reads. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you do well to pay attention to it as to a light that shines in a dark place. Now let me show you one more translation in the verse that follows. Verse 19. Because of that experience, that is what he experienced on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Because of that experience, we have an even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay careful attention to what they wrote, because their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Verse 20, and above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came about from the prophet's own understanding or from a human initiative. No. Those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. So do you see what he's saying? When David writes in Psalm 22, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. He's showing you that no prophecy in Scripture ever came about from the prophet's own understanding. David didn't know what he was talking about. He was led by the Holy Spirit to write. Just write, don't understand. He's telling them. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Here's a few more. Psalm 22:16. David is led to write this by the Holy Spirit 1,000 years before it happened. Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. But Captain, this is 1,000 years before it happened. 700 years before anyone invented crucifixion. David is led to write this. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and they stare at me. For this, behold, your king is coming to you. He's just and he has salvation and he's lowly and he's going to come riding on a donkey. Years before it happened. For this, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Isaiah 53. Believe me, Isaiah had no idea what he was writing. But Peter informs us that holy men of God spoke as the Holy Spirit moved them. Amen. And he's saying to you, the word of God is more important than any eyewitness, even his. And no eyewitness was better than his. Other than Jesus's, who gave an eyewitness to what was awaiting you in heaven when you die and leave this world. No one's eyewitness was better than Peter's. And he says, the word of God is even better than my witness. Now, King David wrote this and told us the same thing. He wrote this on his deathbed. He says, these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, colon. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.